Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Hello, Sal.
How are you guys?
Pretty good. Looking at your article here about practice and all these injuries, and Sal uses little black dots as bullets, the little bullet points for each.
There's a lot of them.
There are 12. There are 12 bullets in this listing injuries. The Bills have been one of the healthiest teams in the NFL the last 2 years. It's one small reason, I think, why they might not get more credibility from the odds makers going into the season, because, you know, people who study that would expect that to not continue just because of, you know,
luck.
Because of luck. But here we are, Sal, in the middle of May, and it's, you know, you've got 12 names here. All or almost all of these guys will be expected to be available come the season, of course. But is this the story of today, that they have all these injuries?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think leading with the fact of the most serious, which is Tyler Kroft, and that's, you know, you're looking at months of recovery here, and this is a possibility where he might not start the season, you know, depending on when he comes back, how much training camp time he can actually get. I think that's the lead story as far as the injuries. The others, like you said, Mike, there's nothing really to worry about. In fact, I'd say to fans, you know, who are concerned, it's May. They're going to be overly cautious. This is when you want to get this stuff out of the way. If a guy has a situation and he needs to have some sort of surgery, you do it now. Which, in the case of Cole Beasley or Mitch Morse, they had core muscle surgery, groin area. So, you know, I think generally that's in the area of what you'd call maybe a sports hernia or something like that. They didn't term it like that, but, you know, just knowing the way those things go, that's probably about, you know, what you'd call it or something like that. So I would say, you know, get that stuff done, get them back out there, and hopefully they're out there before the end of the summer.
Maybe the most serious part, I mean, the Kroft thing is serious in and of itself if it were just a singular incident and he was in danger of being on the physically unable to perform list at the beginning of the season or at the outset of camp, whatever. The other layer to it is that it's the same foot that caused him to miss 11 games last year. So, you know, you might have a situation there where there's just, you know, something's not real good with that foot.
That's right, and we all know, guys, that tight end has been a position that they've had to address in various forms this offseason, and they continue to go out and get tight ends. And, you know, you think back and you say, oh, maybe that might explain why they signed that guy who tried out. No. This happened yesterday, this injury to Tyler Kroft. So they were already trying to add to the tight end group because they're trying to figure out, you know, who can be their number one guy and who can be their role guys. They just signed Lee Smith, you know, last week. So, you know, this is a position that's already been a concern. And now I would argue the guy that maybe most would think would be their number one, so to speak, tight end going into the year is out. And on top of that, oh, by the way, during practice, I saw Jason Kroom leave the field with a trainer and go to the field house. So, you know, this is a position that's been of concern. I think I wouldn't panic right now, though, if I'm the Bills. What I would do is see if one of these tight ends, these rookies especially, can step up into a role and be something maybe that's even of a surprise, a Dawson Knox, a Tommy Sweeney. And if you get a few weeks in and that's not happening, then maybe you call Minnesota about Kyle Rudolph. Maybe you call around the league and see who's available.
You know, with Kroft, like, okay, I'll accept that this injury happened yesterday, but I wonder though, if any part of the Bills' thinking when they signed Smith or even drafted Knox like they did was what they knew about his injury. Like, it sometimes with Sammy Watkins, you know, not that it would necessarily be the same injury, right. I don't know, but, you know, their injuries have different, you know, chances of recurrence, and I wonder if they thought that way about him. And secondly, on a point you just made about the rookies, I mean, if you draft a rookie tight end at 8 overall, like the Lions did, it is still not likely that the guy is going to be a real factor for you, like a solid, you know, especially pass catcher, but like a player for you as a rookie. At tight end, that's very rare. And I can't sit here and think that any rookie that the Bills have would do that for them. Knox will be interesting, though, Sal, because he's kind of like on the line for me for what they used to draft him. It's a trade-up, and it's round three. Like, he's somebody that should, you know, matter for them. It would be not quite like a bust, but it would be, you know, a little bit of a story if he did not contribute for them, you know, in time. And so, yeah, like you, I'm curious to see what happens there.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with you about that. I think that, you know, it is a long shot for a rookie to really commit and make an impact. But I think what you have to start with to do that is opportunity, right? And this is opportunity. Yep. So they're going to have an opportunity for these guys to get on the field. They're going to have an opportunity to see what they can, you know, do and give them reps and have them catch passes, work with the first team offense. And a lot of times rookies just don't get that opportunity. Sometimes they do. They just aren't ready for that role yet. So I'm curious, too. He is a talented athlete who did not have much production in college because of a lot of reasons. He switched positions from quarterback. They didn't use the tight end that much. And they also had a lot of pass catchers, including DK Metcalf, on the roster instead, taking balls. So I think he's an interesting guy. I would give him the opportunity, as well as Sweeney, and see what happens. And then let's wait until the end of, you know, mini camp somewhere in there, mid-June, and say, where are we at with this position? Do we have to go out and get somebody?
And the Bills are not saying anything on about a timeline, right? It's just been reported, I guess, nationally, that the injury recovery could be 3 to 4 months, right?
That's correct. That was Ian Rappaport, right, who reported that, which would make sense if he broke it yesterday, which,
yeah,
is what,
right,
Sean McDermott did say and confirm. It was yesterday. You know, a broken foot, you're not obviously going to be out there in the next couple of weeks, so that would make sense.
Sal Capaccio is on the Western Hotline with us. The Bills began a round of OTAs. Here it's phase three, which means more football-intensive team-type work. And Sal was able to watch practice today. Coverage of Bills OTAs here on WGR, by the way, is presented by Mr. Tire Auto Service Centers. Experience better, the lowest prices, the brands you trust. Right. All right, so Sal, do we know, not that it's a huge deal, Beasley and Morse had these surgical procedures. I'm wondering if we know, were they dinged up during previous OTAs, or is this like cleanup work from last season?
We don't know that. I don't want to speculate, but I will. The only thing I'll say is that, you know, those guys, we didn't hear anything about anything during phase one, and when we were out there, you know, saw guys, you know, walking around and stuff. So it doesn't mean that they didn't have issues, but, you know, so I wouldn't want to speculate exactly when any of this happened. But it, considering that Sean McDermott, though, did say that their surgery was a few weeks ago. So it happened, whether it was cleanup stuff. If it was cleanup stuff, though, I would think you'd be done a lot sooner, you know?
Yeah,
so
right.
It's probably something that was bothering them once they started getting into the workout and training type of stuff.
You do have these 12 bullet points, like we mentioned, but not all of them are injuries. In fact, you have three guys who participated but were injured last year, including Matt Milano. So, you know, Sal, we have this thing, or I have this thing, where, like, I spend a lot of time in conversations over the course of the summer just sort of, I don't know if I want to say cautioning, but just pointing out how difficult, to the point where it's almost futile, it is to try to predict team defense in the NFL. Like, you know, oh, we got Rex Ryan, watch this, or oh, we got McDermott. Like, you just can't. But the Bills have had, you know, last year for sure, and to a lesser extent I'd say the year before, like, a good defense, or certainly respected. So how are you going to look at it? Like, Milano being back will be a thing. You know, draft picks, right? Jerry Hughes gets a contract extension. They'll just sort of, you can list things about their defense that people will like. Secondary. So what is it going to be for you?
I expect them to be very solid. Just be very tough to play against, tough to come about points and yards and move down the field. Sure, they'll have their moments. Things will go wrong. But I think just steady, really what we saw most of the 14 games after that, you know, first 2 weeks when they looked awful, I think that's what you'll see. But I'd like to see more takeaways. I think, you know, a lot of that, Mike, can be a product of luck, as you know, which way the ball bounces. I'd like to see them get more, you know, sacks, get more big plays from the defense. The one thing they didn't do last year was score touchdowns. It would have helped the offense, obviously. You can't count on that happening. But I think they're going to be a really solid defense that every team is going to have a tough time going against. But I think what separates the elite defenses from those types of defense, which is what they want to be, is those big plays, those takeaways, scoring on defense, things like that. And those are the things I'm going to be looking for here in year three of Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier.
They were top 10 both years in takeaways, ninth and then eighth. But just in case people are wondering what the numbers were, the rankings, 2 years ago in yards allowed, 26th in the league, the playoff year. And then last year, I think it was second. So there was a big improvement. You think most people would say that, Sal, that the Bills' defense last year was a lot better?
I don't know. I mean, because, again, I think that what they made up for, it goes back to what I was just saying, what they made up for 2 years ago was they got more of those big plays. They got some pick sixes. I remember they were taking the ball away at a really good rate, especially early in the year when they had that 5-2 run to start the year. So I think, you know, year to year, it's so hard. But I think last year, part of it too, Mike, was, and again, I'm not, this is going to sound like a negative and a backhanded type of compliment. In a way, I guess it is, but I do think they were a good defense. But offenses didn't have to be aggressive against them last year. Offenses who played the Bills knew they might be able to score 17 points and win a game. So they didn't have to push the envelope a lot, and they got some short fields. They were able to just get the ball down the field, get a few field goals, not worry about taking chances, have to score points, outscore your opponent. And, you know, hopefully this year with an improved offense and a more attacking, aggressive offense, they can score some points. Other offenses will have to do that against the Bills, and that will open up more of those big play opportunities.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline here with us. Bills were on the practice field earlier today. They'll have another practice. Is it Thursday, Sal? And then next week, yeah, another round of this, and this goes on for quite a few weeks before they then take a break and then, you know, are off for basically most of June into July, and then they hit training camp.
Why Thursday and not tomorrow?
I think they just want to have like a recovery day for these guys, but at the same time, I was thinking about this, Mike. One thing I think is smart, what I would do, because I was thinking about this exact question, and I know it sounds, maybe I'm overthinking it. One thing I might want to do if I was in this position, because I was looking at other teams and dates, and some teams do get they do the 3 days in a row. Here's how it works, by the way. Out of the four OTA weeks, you're allowed 1 week of, well, it's actually three OTA weeks in a mandatory minicamp. You're allowed 1 week of 4 days. The other weeks have to be 3 days. And what I was thinking about, what I would do, and I think the Bills might be doing this, I don't know, is don't give them 3 days in a row. Give them 1 day off and then another day, because that's an extra day that they're going to be here at the facility. And now, granted, you could say, well, you still got to be here if you're not practicing. But, you know, these guys, it's more days that they're not going to leave for a night, right? They're going to be here. They're going to stay. They're going to be off tomorrow and back on the field on Thursday. And they kind of stay here in Buffalo, and you still get them working at your facility and things like that.
It's a little sneaky.
Yeah, instead of having a four-day weekend, I guess, right? I mean, that's the way I would look at it.
So, Sal, how about the Jerry Hughes news from this morning?
It's really, really good for Jerry Hughes, obviously, but also for a defense that had a lot of question marks beyond 2019 at the defensive end position, because this is a good player still. I mean, he's going to be 31 in August, guys, but he's still playing at a high level. He's still, to me, their best overall pass rusher, even if the sacks don't necessarily translate into numbers. He creates havoc. He does a lot of really good things. You know, we all know that he had some issues with some penalties and unsportsmanlike things like that over the years. You have to rein them in a little bit. But you know, I'll sacrifice some of those things for the way Jerry Hughes can play defense, because he's really good. And, yeah, now you have Jerry Hughes and Trent Murphy locked up beyond 2019 through 2020 for Trent Murphy, which is good. And you don't have Shaq Lawson, obviously. They could still sign him to an extension, but at least it checks off one of those boxes of things you had to worry about going into next offseason, which was, hey, what are we going to do about defensive end? Because we only have Trent Murphy and Mike Love, basically, under contract after this year.
I heard you this morning with Howard and Jeremy, Sal, and I think it bears pointing out on our show, too, because I liked you mentioning it, that Hughes is in very rare company here. Like, maybe he's even got the market cornered on being someone who this group inherited and have now extended.
That's right. And there's only been three guys, and I'm actually counting Reed Ferguson, who was on the practice squad when this regime arrived. He was on the practice squad. He signed a contract extension this past offseason. He's been here. And the other one, other than those two, was Lorenzo Alexander. And really, that's because he is older and, you know, he's kind of fought against Father Time. And so far, he's been beating him. And he's been signing one-year deals. And that's why. But Jerry Hughes is really the only player that has, outside of those particular situations, he's the only one that's been here and has signed an extension to remain here in Buffalo. Everybody else is gone, pretty much. The only other guys who are even here, but they're still on the same deals as when McDermott and Meek got here, are Shaq Lawson and LeSean McCoy. And anything can still happen with either of those guys, but I think Jerry Hughes, for that to be said about him, speaks really highly of what they feel about him, especially how many thought he wouldn't fit into the culture of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott when he got here, when they got here.
Sal, how about Eric Wood coming on to the broadcast here? Eric is replacing Mark Kelso this year, and I feel like it was probably your call that this happened.
Wasn't my call, no. But I love having Eric. Let me say this, if I may, first. I know a lot about football, and I probably think I know a lot more than I actually do about football, but I still learned a whole hell of a lot from Mark Kelso about football. He is really smart. He was a great broadcast partner to work with, and I'll always tell people, and it's true, that some of my greatest, you know, memories now of working with Mark and funnest times were during commercial breaks when people don't hear what we're talking about. We're just talking football, like real X's and O's stuff from things I see on the field and things he sees. So happy for him that he's able to now maybe, you know, do more with his NASCAR and things like that. But I'm super happy to have Eric Wood with us because he's really, really in tune with, I think, you know, what players are thinking now, what's going on, strategies in the game in today's day and age. You know, he is a player who was recently in the locker room and still has relationships with guys around the league. And I've worked with Eric in the past. We've done some things, whether that be media or just in the locker room. And yesterday, guys, I found this news out yesterday. I texted Eric, and I felt really good and proud because his reply to me was, he said, you know, I've always been a fan of your work, Sal, and I was excited to tell you about it, but they told me I couldn't say anything, so he didn't reach out until I did, which was really nice of him.
Yeah, I'm going to like seeing Eric around. And by the way, it's not even a joke. My non-joke was not at all to imply anything about Mark and Sal. Like, I'm just like
of
being stupid.
Not.
Just being me. Like, it's your call. All right, Sal, good. I just saw a note from RotoWire. Aaron Judge takes dry swings. Love these little blurbs that sometimes, you know, it's like plays catch.
Wow.
A pitcher who's been hurt plays
right.
Catch.
Long toss.
Anything. Just like, what does it even mean? Dry swings. You have any insight on what that means? Is that just like swinging without somebody pitching?
I would think that would be like against air, right? Just dry swings.
That's dry swings.
Air.
When there's a ball that's wet, when there's a ball that's live swings.
Live, yeah. I don't know why they don't.
It does remind me though of when I was younger. I remember a story. I don't know who it was. There was a story I read about a baseball player who they said his bat swing got really fast because he would take swings in a pool. And it would be harder to swing because
Greg
it's against
Jeffries.
The water, obviously.
Yep.
And now I'm thinking, oh, maybe this is, he's just not in a pool.
Greg Jeffries for the Mets was in Sports Illustrated.
There you
when
go.
He was like that prospect. They had him
yep.
Photographed taking swings in a pool. Hey, by the way, what do you think? Did you do this yesterday or was this not news? The Bills giving out 32?
I didn't hear about it until today.
Oh, this happened today.
So what do you think about that?
Okay, so it's interesting, Mike. I'm more interested in kind of the fan reaction, which has been really across the board. And it's a talk. There's a story today. And number one, there are a lot of fans. It's on both sides, as it usually is. There are a lot of fans who say, okay, well, they gave out 32. Well, there's been a lot of numbers they've given out. And even though Andre Reed's not known for what O.J. Simpson is, they've given out 83 a lot. You know, it's not retired. These are numbers that have some sort of really big significance in Bill's history, and they've given them out anyway, like 83. There's others who've said, why would they ever give that number out, what it represents, what it means. No one should ever wear that number in Buffalo. And then I was thinking about it, and I'll be honest too, like, if it's not retired and someone requests it and wants to wear it, the Bills have a choice to say yes or no. If the Bills say no, there has to be a reason, right? And it's not retired. So I think it's kind of a peculiar situation for them.
So do we know if the player, Sonoris Perry is the player?
He asked for it.
He asked for
it. It's a family thing. His
yes.
grandfather, maybe, and he wore it in college. And he couldn't get it in Miami when he was in Miami because Kenyon Drake had it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But when he got here, he asked for it, and they honored the request.
All right.
Yeah, it's so he asked for it. So if he asks and they say no, well, there has to be a reason. Like, they could say,
well,
we've just decided not to issue it, but it's not retired, right? I mean, so I do think it's an interesting situation for the team,
mm-hmm.
but now that they've given out, it kind of, okay, from here on out, here on going forward, it kind of is just another number.
They don't have to have an official position on it. It's not like that. If they're wearing glasses when the player asks them to wear 32, they can just sort of push down their glasses an inch and look over the top of the glasses and be like, really? You know, like, you really want to wear 32 in a Bills uniform? They don't have to do anything about it. Like, for years, guys like Bruce and Thurman, that just, they didn't issue the number. They hadn't been retired officially. They just hadn't issued the number. So, I don't know. I haven't thought about it too much, but I do like this kind of thing. And I wonder, like, people, most of the time, players get their, the same way OJ did. Players get their jerseys retired because of their excellence. And this now is that, but then also.
Right.
The infamy.
I like the point you're making, Sal, because if they don't, if they treat it as special in some way, they could be accused of, in a way, honoring the legacy
that's,
of
yeah,
OJ.
That's what you're saying, right?
Right?
Correct.
And I don't think I want the Bills to be doing that. So this sort of says, like, we're done with that.
This is their saying, we're not doing that.
We're not doing that, right. Somebody wanted it, he's going to wear it, it's a football number. And
I think... I think it's also to make it known that the player requested it, right? It's not
right.
Like they didn't just hand it out. They,
right.
they like,
right.
You know what? Yep, the player requested it. We're going to allow him to do that.
I mean, that's the same to me, though. To me, that's either way. Like, you either allow somebody to wear the number or you don't. But I understand the distinction, I guess. Okay. Sal, I hope you continue to enjoy your time today at Cave of the Winds, where you seem to be broadcasting from as we talk. Are you actually on?
Gosh.
It's
always something. Last time it was Sonic the Hedgehog, my son.
Right.
Well, it's fine.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, Sal. We had a fire alarm go off earlier, so this is a big improvement.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Sal Capaccio's appearance here brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
32. Will this guy make the team?
That's I don't know. I mean, there's really crowded at running back. He's a special teams guy, and they don't have a special teams running back.
So there's a lot of things to say here. Like, if he doesn't, the next guy will say, well, I'll take it.
Right.
Like, and why would the answer not be yes?
Right, the number's just back in circulation then,
it's
like a normal number 32, which I'm 100% fine with.
You are?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if you continue to protect it, you might wonder if the organization, like, it can cut both ways. I mean, they could always say if they wanted to, like, well, I mean, we don't want to give out this infamous number in our franchise's history because of what OJ became after he played here, but... you'd never know for sure.
No, but don't you think that's what's been happening for 20 years?
Yes.
Like, I mean, would you assume that they never got a request? I wouldn't. It's possible, but I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't. No.
You know, I think if I'm in charge of that, maybe there's a lot to know, or maybe there's nothing to know. Like, I think if I'm in charge of that, I'm like, you don't really want to do that, do you? Like, to the player, you don't really want to wear 32 Bills, do you?
Right.
Really? Like, isn't it just been sort of tarnished? And.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I agree with you. Like, now, if whether this guy makes the team or not, somebody is going to say, I'll take it.
Right.
But then, as a player, would you want that? I mean, this guy does. I don't know. There's a lot to think about here. 803-0550. The Bills give running back Sonoris Perry number 32 for whatever purposes, whether that's just the preseason or whatever. Like, maybe he goes to the Hall of Fame wearing it. I don't know.
Right, so.
But, you know, it's something to talk about. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, it's something we did talk about when it was brought up by Perry, and we knew it was a number that was important to him and his family, and we felt like we would honor that that request, and we definitely vetted it out. If you asked, polled most of the players, they probably didn't even realize it, honestly. But we did talk about it as a leadership group, for sure.
Sean McDermott makes one point there that I was thinking about, and that's who even notices or cares, right? Like, so Sonoris Perry is far from the youngest player on the big roster, the big offseason roster, and he was born less than 3 years before the murders. Like, so he would not remember the news story of the O.J. Simpson, unless he's just like this amazing sort of brilliant kid who can remember things from when he was two.
His first memory is watching the Bronco Jays.
Yeah, like how, what's
very
your earliest
thing
memory?
That he like? It's weird, but I remember that.
Yeah, with Mark Kestisher at the Blue Jays game yesterday, we're talking about like, well, what's your first baseball memory? I'm like, I could tell you that I watched Fisk, but it's only because my mom told me that I did. It's not because I can remember sitting there and watching the Fisk home run. So how many players on the team would know or care or anything about 32? We care, and we're who matter. I mean, it's not important to me whether Jerry Hughes or any other player on the Bills, what he thinks about it. It's worth one person's opinion. You know, the fans are the one who will react to it, if they do. I mean, if there's going to be a reaction to this, it would be from fans who either don't mind or care, like whatever, the way McDermott probably correctly thinks his players would think, or big problem, like for either reason.
Right.
For the OJ was a great player reason or the rest.
Yeah. I definitely don't care. And this is not to say that, you know, that this should go for everyone, but I'm not worried about O.J. Simpson's legacy as a Buffalo Bill at this point. Like that some kid who's going to go cover kickoffs and maybe, you know, play running back a little, if he even makes the football team, is going to be trampling all over, you know, one of the greatest, if not the greatest player in the history of the franchise's legacy. At this point, O.J. doesn't deserve that courtesy. In my opinion, he just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person that he became after being great at football here pretty much negates that. He has, I would say, he has no rights here. He's got no, like, you cannot convince me that he should be offended and I would want to side with him. Like, who is Sonoris Perry? Like, what? What? I mean, you know, and I'm not at all saying that I would expect that from O.J. Simpson at this point.
Imagine if it were like the one honor that he feels like he has left.
He still has, because everything else has been, rightly taken from him. I don't know. So I'm not worried about that. I would, you know, organizationally, I'd love to know what those conversations entailed. Like, how reluctant, if at all, they were to just give the number out.
Who do you think decided?
McDermott.
Do you?
Yeah.
You think it should be his decision?
I think
he decides everything.
I think he's in charge of everything.
Everything. Yes. Like, whose decision should it be? The owner. That's the ownership level.
Yeah.
Because you're worried. Whether you think it's a big deal or not, you'd probably want to consider your fans. And I'm not saying by that the fans think it's a big deal. I put a Twitter poll up not knowing, and I've only got a few hundred votes in the last 10 minutes, but like 5 out of 6 people or so say no problem. No problem or big problem are your choices.
Okay.
If it's a small problem, I don't have an option for
okay,
you.
Okay, well, that, man.
You either have to make it, it's either a big problem.
Or you don't care.
Or it's a no problem.
Right, right.
That's what we're doing.
I definitely come down on no problem from that standpoint. Like, I'm not bent at all about what OJ should mean to the organization at this point. To me, it's irrelevant. Like, he gave that up. I mean, he gave it up. So more than once, I think, with how his life has unfolded here. So, you know, the guy, like you said, you put your glasses down your nose a little bit. Like, I'm going to do the same thing. Like,
right.
Are you sure this is what you want to do?
You're really asking me for 32?
You really want 32? Do you know what 32 means? Like, I wonder if someone had that conversation with him and he said, well, I don't care. It's my... I don't know the whole story, but it means something to him for his family. It's either his dad or his grandfather, I think, is a football player. And like, that's what I want to do.
Well, there's also with this the matter of Simpson being on the Wall of Fame. Like, you see his name at the stadium when you go to the stadium. And this discussion has been there for a long since the trial. Like, fans could always pick that topic up and talk about it, as could we. And I have to tell you that as reasonable and righteous as the argument has always been to take that down, I've never felt strongly that they should do that. And ultimately, I think, well, you're telling me by this argument that you should pretend he never played for you. And I'm not for that. Like, no one would blame the Bills for anything that happened involving Simpson after his playing career. Like, it's not the Bills doing it all, obviously. But I guess I end up at, don't pretend like he didn't exist. Mm-hmm. He was the best player they ever had. And, you know, he's up there because of that.
Right. And no, I don't think, I mean, look, as tangled up as we can become with, you know, being more woke about a lot of things that have a great deal of merit, I think you'd really have to twist yourself up. You're into some contortions if you are going to assert that the Bills are in some way supporting murder by having OJ's name on the wall. Like, I can't get there.
It's the thing you said, the point, the logic you used about this jersey. It's like, so it honors him, though. Like, his name being up there honors him. It's not anything crazy like that.
Right.
But it honors him.
And does he deserve to be
honored
at all?
And does he deserve that, you know, well.
With all that said, I have, over the years, like I can, you know, we've talked about this plenty of times over the years. Once, I think, maybe quite heatedly. Like, maybe there was a movement afoot out there to, like, get it taken down. And maybe it happened around the time he went to jail for the robbery thing in Vegas, even, you know, post the murders. And they're like, you know, I'm fine with it being there. It's a lesson. You can tell. It's fine. I don't have a problem. I would say right now, if they decided they wanted to take it down, as much as they'd be erasing the history, I wouldn't get in the way of it. I wouldn't. If they just wanted to say, you know what? I don't feel like, if Terry Pegula walked in there one day and went like, I just don't feel like we should be looking at that.
But see, now I would have to tell you, I guess, that I feel like if the Pegulas did that now, it wouldn't be because of their convictions. It would be because
they gave the number out.
Well, because fans, somehow they became sort of convinced that they should do it.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that they should do it because, I don't know, what would it be? Like, would it be fans, or would it be sponsors, or would it be, like, I would just sort of assume that, and then maybe someone would convince me that that wasn't the case. I think if they had that conviction, this is probably, I don't remember talking about it really at all, or certainly arguing about it, but maybe it was more talked about when the Bills were sold. Like, okay, well, here's something you should do. If you just bought the Bills, here's something you should do. And also, Ralph Wilson had people that he didn't want up there, right? And that kind of has been fixed because he had grudges.
Right.
So that's been fixed. And then, you know, like, the other side of that coin might be O.J. Simpson. Well, you know, 84%, it's just a silly Twitter poll and means nothing, I guess. But
no problem.
It's a pretty sizable lead.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I want to hear from Joe maybe on this too. Joe is 23 and would have no memory of that either. And maybe he doesn't care at all. I don't know. But Joe is a guy who does respect sort of all this stuff, I think, the history and everything.
Yeah, I don't really have a very strong opinion on it. I mean, I just kind of, it just doesn't really get brought up. Like, it doesn't even register in my mind. Like, I love watching, like, documentaries on that whole thing because it was so enormous and I didn't live through it. So it almost, like, I can't even connect him to being a Bill. Like, it just doesn't happen. Like, he's O.J. Simpson, and I don't think of him as a Buffalo Bill unless I really, like, think about it. So when I see his name up on the wall, like, I just don't even, it doesn't register to me at all. So that's why, to me, like, I think a lot of fans my age, I just don't think it's the non-starter, I think.
Not register maybe in the same way than all those other guys
who played
for the Bills,
right,
you know, in the 60s and 70s,
Robert James.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Okay.
I think the point about, like, the way we're revisiting some of this history in society is interesting to apply here. You know, in my case, with my kids, say, if my son or daughter wants to know about O.J. Simpson, I will tell them everything. I mean, that's just kind of I'm laughing because I'm thinking about a question he asked me on Saturday that I will not repeat on the air. I'll tell you off the air what he asked me. Like, it was not about O.J. Simpson, but
okay. Did you tell him everything?
Yes.
Okay.
And I thought immediately that I shouldn't have.
Oh boy.
But I want my kids to know everything. Like, for me, ultimately, it's more that than it is protecting them or shielding them. And if they go into school and tell other kids what I said, then I might end up looking bad because I'm just telling them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
About whatever. And so he probably has. My son probably has asked me about O.J. Simpson. Like, well, he was a great player, one of the best football players of all time. He played almost his entire career for the Bills. And then he almost definitely murdered his ex-wife and a waiter and went to jail for a long time. And
But not really because of that.
Yeah, I guess. Right. Technically.
Right.
You know. Feel like from that one of those documentaries, I learned that the second judge was punishing him for the first for the first crime. But whatever, like, you know, that's how I would do it. And if that philosophy or that approach is your approach, then I don't think you go to the stadium and be like, when are they going to get that off the wall?
Yeah,
because you're just like, let's talk about it. This happened. I don't think of it as being embarrassing to the Bills.
Yeah.
That's up there. But 32, I don't know, like it can be the same thing or not. Fans can be really serious about things like jersey numbers and halls of fame and walls of fame and honors. And I have been like that, you know, in my life. I'm not always like that, but I can see it. And when there's a 32, you're the one of the two of us who watched him play.
Mm-hmm.
I think I will see 32 at training camp and be like, wow, that is so weird. I think. If he's still on the team by then.
Yeah.
I think I will find that very strange. Not offensive necessarily.
Yeah.
But just interesting and weird.
Yeah. It's very possible that that's how it will be very, it will elicit feelings in me that I right now can't predict. I think is maybe, and maybe a lot of people will be like that, and then we'll be revisiting this. I think maybe at some point in August, like, is this a good idea?
If they did not have the almost exact same uniform, it might be different.
Right.
Like, if they had changed their colors or something along the way, then maybe it's totally different. Then.
Or are stuck with the Bledsoe-era uniforms or whatever. Like, and then it would be a different, it's a totally different look. But you're right now, you're rocking almost the exact same look that he wore.
803-0550, we're late for a break here. You had a thought on the Bills issuing 32? We'd like to know it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, welcome back. Let's go to Jake here. Hi, Jake.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, I have a real strong opinion about the O.J. Simpson topic. I'm almost exactly the same age as Denoris Perry. And despite never having seen O.J. play, I'm really upset, and I'm not even sure why I'm so upset. I feel like it was just a really bad move by the franchise. I mean, he's unquestionably one of the greatest players in the franchise's history, and, you know, he's arguably one of the best running backs of all time. And I understand, you know, the things he almost certainly did later in his life are horrible, unforgivable, and unspeakable, but I don't think that should erase what he did as a player. I mean, he was truly great for a number of years, and that's a huge piece of the franchise's history.
Okay, so this your argument is he was great. He was the player he was is the reason why not to give the number out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. See, I think
you don't give out 78 or 83 or 12.
Just the same. Well, yeah, interesting.
83 has been all over town. But 12 and 34 and 78 have never been worn and never will be. They've been officially retired. 32 never was and obviously never will be.
But there are both of those arguments. They're both fine as arguments go. They're both fine. This guy, Jake, thank you, Jake. He was great. Why are you giving his number out? As if he were Kelly. You know? And then there's the other argument, which is, are you kidding me with this? How do you give out O.J. Simpson's number, the infamous side of things? I mean, we really don't have precedent for that in sports or much of it. But like, you could make the you could have the same sort of level of objection to this for either reason, and yet I still don't think it's going to be that many people. And I don't disrespect this argument, but I think maybe most people would be like, yeah, all right.
I appreciate that Jake was honest enough to say, I'm not really sure why I'm upset, but I am.
Yes.
Because like those are interesting times. You know, like when that happens to you, you know, I think that the hopefully you have enough sense to, well, in this case, he called our radio show, and I'm grateful he did. You know, when that happens to me in my personal life, if I'm getting upset and I'm not sure why, I think I've learned to like slow down and sit down and like, okay, what is happening here? Like, what is really bothering me? Like, just before I do something that I'm going to regret.
You might ask someone right. if they think you should be upset.
Yeah, like what is happening to me? Like, let me tell you what's bothering me right now, and then maybe they will be able to objectively observe. Yeah, but the reason you're upset is it's actually this other thing. Like, oh, okay,
you right. Know
what? That's right. Thank right. you.
Here,
when it
happens to me here, I go off because that's what work wants me to do. So, like, that's a different that doesn't
right,
count.
Right.
Thank you, Jake. The Bills give out 32. Does it matter to you? 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.